And episode number 26 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast is brought to you by my last week of 33.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Here's radio host and lifelong Yankees fan, Ralphie Aversa.
Well, hello there. Welcome to episode number 26 inside season 2 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. I am Ralphie Aversa at Ralphie Aversa. We're at Pinstripe Lanes on all social networks. And of course, thank you for rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you found us, including, of course, PinstripeLanesPodcast.com. Did not get an episode out last week, so that's why we're dropping this one a little earlier. We wanted to drop this one last week, actually, late last week, and things got a little hectic in the life of an unemployed person like myself between the sign-off of the legendary WPLJ, which very thankfully I was able to be a part of late last week. And then I had to travel to Connecticut to do some work with my friends up at Mohegan Sun, my first of, I think, two or three trips up there this month alone. Plus, we got some other stuff cooking outside of the podcast for me personally. I'm still doing stuff with Dish Network, and we have a few other leads as I try to move on to this next phase of my career. Nonetheless, none of that matters right now as we talk things that Yankee fans care about, specifically Yankee tickets on this episode of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. We'll do a deep dive a little bit into John Oliver and his most recent comments about the Yankees. A lot of Yankee fans were up in arms over it. I was not, and that's coming from someone who, A, is a big fan of John Oliver, and also someone who has had the chance to interview him a number of times. You'll hear some of those interviews. And this all dates back to like 2016, the whole John Oliver thing. But we'll get into it in just a little bit here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Some other news and notes very quickly. Something actually related to what we'll be talking about with John Oliver and the Yankees, the secondary ticket market. We'll talk more StubHub in a little bit, but I used Game Time on Sunday night. I bought and then sold a ticket, probably the easiest I've done either since New Yankee Stadium opened. I mean, really, period, for that matter. If you've used Game Time before, they kind of market it as a place to go for last-second tickets, and I found out why on Sunday as I was thinking about going up to the Bronx for that Sunday night loss against the Red Sox. I bought a pinstripe pass on there for, I believe, out the door with fees, $25. Great deal, considering they were going for $25 on Ticketmaster. That's not including fees. So you basically save fees going that way, and you still get your free 12-ounce beer, and away you go. Well, then I decided I wasn't going to go up to the Bronx and obviously save myself a long, rainy night and a loss. You can relist on Game Time. You literally just tap one button and it's back up. You don't even have to set the price. What Game Time does, the algorithm in the app looks at the market, looks at the listings, and figures out the best price to put it on there so that your ticket will sell and that hopefully you won't lose any money. I think I ended up losing maybe like $5 when it was all said and done. But within a half hour, not even, and by the way, this was like an hour prior to first pitch, within a half hour of me listing it, the ticket was sold, and I believe, we're taping this on June 4th, it's a Tuesday, I believe today the money's supposed to hit my PayPal account, so away you go on that. So pretty cool stuff, and a good experience there with Game Time. I've hit the trifecta, I believe. Have I used StubHub? I used StubHub for the Baltimore game that I went to, but I've used StubHub, I've used SeatGeek, I've used Game Time, and of course I've bought tickets directly through Ticketmaster as well. So by any means necessary, but hey, you as a consumer should use all of these tools as well. Every different platform has their pros and cons depending on what you're looking for, whether it's a premium seat, whether it's a cheap seat, whether it's just you going, whether it's a big group of people going, whether you're looking for shelter, whether you're looking for included food. There's all these different options, and so it's good to have a number of different platforms you can go to based on your budget and your other various needs. Also, some merchandising news real quick. The Stars and Stripes collection is out for this year. It was a big hit last year. And you can tell that because they haven't modified last year's design too much to this year's. That said, I like last year's a lot better. Last year, if you remember, for Stars and Stripes, the Yankees, and I believe, by the way, they're only doing hats this year, hats and Stan Sox, but the hats were all navy. You had the NY with the American flag over it, and then you had the AL logo on the side. This year, you have all of that with the exception of the bill of the hat is red. I don't like it. I mean, I guess from a pure fashion standpoint, maybe it looks a little better, or maybe it looks okay. But as far as a Yankee hat standpoint, well, I mean, I was more likely to buy last year's hat than I would buy this year's hat, and I didn't buy last year's hat, so I'm definitely not buying it this year. The Father's Day caps are out as well. Now, you remember these have a tint of blue to them to raise awareness for prostate cancer. I thought they were going to go the direction of the Mother's Day caps, which had the navy crown and then this cool kind of pink blend for the NY and for the bill. Nope, they took that blend, turned it into blue, and made the entire bill of the cap, or excuse me, crown of the cap, that like royal blue, and then I believe the bill and the NY are navy. I don't like it at all. You know, again, I'm just not a fan of messing with the tradition, and I think there are ways where you can recognize these various causes and various platforms and various concerns without having to completely change the hat so that you have another hat to sell in your store, because I think a lot of times that's what this sadly comes down to. And I think it's very interesting that, oh, we're about charity, we're raising funds, this, that, and the third. Majestic hasn't done really any special jerseys this year, at least as far as the Yankees are concerned. You know, they've put the different patches and ribbons on them, but as far as completely changing the NY and or pinstripes into camouflage or pink or blue, they haven't done any of that. Why do you, I thought this was all for charity. No. I think what happens, if you look back at those jerseys, they end up getting marked down in a clearance, and I think they were sick of losing money on them. Going to my point, which is, this is all about money, and if it were about the charity, there would be, I think, in my opinion, more effective ways to go about this. All right, without further ado, we now talk about John Oliver's latest comments surrounding the Yankees that he really doesn't like too much. However, he does have a few, dare I say, legit reasons. We'll explain next here on episode number 26 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Welcome back to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. By the way, before we get to the John Oliver comments, one other thing we should have mentioned in our opening monologue, a big piece of news that broke yesterday, Monday, this week. Fanatics acquiring Steiner Sports. Now, Fanatics, of course, runs all of the Pro League online shops. They run some of the brick and mortar shops as well. They powered them, at least. They're called Fanatics Experiences. And they have gotten into the sports memorabilia business. They have been signing pretty much all the new athletes as of late. They have big deals with Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge of the Yankees. I believe they had a deal with Greg Bird. They might have one with Didi Gregorius as well. Obviously, Fanatics leveraging its space in retail to kind of bring these athletes in and say, hey, you know, you could sign with Steiner Sports and you could just do autographs and maybe like an event here and there, or you can come to us and we can do merchandising, we can do events, we can do autographs, we can, you know, we'll put you on MLB Shop. We have all these different things that we can offer you. And they were winning out. And I guess this was rather inevitable. Darren Revelle broke the story on Twitter yesterday that Fanatics did in fact purchase Steiner Sports. You know, look, I have kind of like this love-hate relationship with Steiner Sports. I want to love it for a couple reasons. A, Brandon Steiner is a fellow Syracuse alum. B, you know, he built his business from the ground up by himself just through hard work. And C, you know, as a Yankee collector, I've gotten to go to a lot of really cool Steiner events and meet a lot of great athletes through that. A lot of great Yankee players. I have this 09 team piece that I'm three signatures away from completing that wouldn't be possible without all the various Steiner signings, whether it was the first one I went to after the championship with Girardi and A-Rod, or the latest one I went to, which, who was the last person I got on that magazine? Might have been Mark Teixeira out at Roosevelt Field Mall. You know, the problem, though, is that as Brandon Steiner built his business, I really think he did it at the expense of collectors, literally and figuratively, and at the expense of the collecting business and culture as well, as he got these exclusives and raised the price and raised the price and then tried to monetize anything he could. I think the way that the old Yankee Stadium was demolished and then sold and auctioned off piece by piece, brick, literally brick by brick, as I look at a brick from the old Monument Park that my cousin got me for my birthday one year, it did not sit well with a lot of Yankee fans. I'll share this story too. I remember even meeting Brandon Steiner once, and I went up to him and said, "Hey, Mr. Steiner, Ralphie Aversa." You know, at the time I was on PLJ. You know, I host a show here in New York on PLJ. I went to Syracuse like you, big Yankee fan. I believe I met him at Roosevelt Field. I was there for the Hideki Matsui signing. And instead of saying, "Hey, nice to meet you, fellow Syracuse alum," like the normal stuff, immediately he goes into, "Hey, man, got a lot of great Syracuse items on sale right now on the website. Really should check them out." And it was like part of me admired the fact that he's always hustling. But at the same time, you got to, you know, if you're going to sell someone, you got to build a relationship, right? And so, like, the idea that he, you know, that could have gone so much more differently and more effectively for him if he had been, you know, if he had said something a little warmer, not as like salesman-y, you know. But regardless, hopefully he made some money off it. I'm reading this article now, by the way. I was wondering about this, you know, I was chatting about it with one of my cousin Tony, one of my friends. And we were wondering if Fanatics got the various Steiner contracts. And according to Sports Business Daily, Steiner is keeping the athlete contracts. Steph Curry, Aaron Rodgers, two of them. But if you're listening to this podcast, obviously Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, and many more. So I wonder now if Brandon will kind of I guess he gives all of his inventory to Fanatics, which is vast, and he's got a lot of, obviously, the aforementioned old Yankee stuff and so many things from the Yankees, the Red Sox, Notre Dame, Syracuse, list goes on and on and on. But then I guess, does he use these contracts and these relationships, and does he try to do a content company, a live event company? I guess there are still some ways in which he can go. There was a rather weird email, if you're on the, I think my Steiner emails at this point go to my spam, but there was an email sent out Monday to everybody who was subscribed to Steiner saying that from Brandon Steiner listing his Gmail email address and saying that he would be accepting emails to there from now on and not the Steiner Sports ones. So Steiner employees, I guess, were notified of the sale over the weekend. And again, Monday, all of the news was confirmed. So Steiner Sports purchased out by Fanatics. I will say, I don't think monopolies are great for consumers. However, I do love Fanatics kind of taking sports memorabilia and sports merchandise into a new era of distribution and of pricing. And so, while I think on the outside, initially, you would think, oh, this is going to be terrible. Prices are going to be driven up, this, that, and the third. A lot of people pointing to this $2,500 a ticket event that is happening later this month with Aaron Judge and that Michael Kay's hosting here in the city. I don't think that's going to necessarily be the case for everything. I think there could be some good that comes from this as well. All right. We'll transition now to another Yankee partnership, and that is, of course, the Yankee partnership with StubHub. It wasn't always as great as it is at the moment. It started out really, really good, actually, and very convenient, and then it went through a bit of turbulent times. In 2016, the Yankees decided to get rid of paperless ticketing. Print-at-home ticketing. And the Yankees wanted to get rid of print-at-home ticketing for two reasons. The print-at-home tickets, the PDFs, were extremely easy to counterfeit. And B, they were not happy that the market was telling them that their product on the field wasn't great and that they weren't going to pay premium pricing for it, and that websites like StubHub were allowing tickets to be sold as cheap as $2 or $3, and were allowing legend seats, which are, of course, you know, right behind home plate, and all of the crab legs and lobster and shrimp your heart can eat, can never want, those tickets, which were going retailing, you know, face value anywhere between $3 to $1,200 if you were buying at face value day of, were going as cheap on StubHub for $100, $150. Lon Trost of the Yankees, of the Yankee brass, not happy about it, and so they go to the e-ticketing or the hard tickets, which is still in place. The Ticketmaster resale website was the official third-party reseller of the New York Yankees, and they got rid of the print-at-home tickets. Lon Trost, obviously, there was immediate pushback for this, and so he gets on Boomer and Carton to try to explain the Yankees' stance, and in the process, sticks his foot in his mouth.
If you buy a ticket in a very premium location and pay a substantial amount of money, it's not that we don't want that fan to sell it, but that fan is sitting there having paid a substantial amount of money for their ticket, and the fan picks it up for $1.50 and sits there, and it frustrates the purchaser in the full amount. And quite frankly, the fan, you know, may be someone who has never sat in a premium location. So that's a frustration to our existing fan base.
That laughing you heard in the background was the audience of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. We'll explain why in just a second. Look, I will take Mike Francesa's stance on the Lon Trost comments, and these were comments that Mike made shortly after Lon's interview with Boomer and Carton on WFAN. I don't think Lon meant what he said, or at least meant it to come out the way that he said it. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, because obviously if you're going to be an executive in the most successful and most visible sports franchise in the world, and you're going to get on your flagship radio station, I believe they're a flagship at the time, and make a comment like that, well, you got to own up to it, and you got to, you know, choose your words a little better. That said, I don't think it was a matter of classism of the Yankees saying, no, we don't want someone who would normally sit in the bleachers to sit in the legend seats. I think it was really just a matter of, we don't care who you are, we don't care what your background is, we just want you to pay us the money. So long as you pay us the money, it doesn't matter. Now, you could take issue with that as well, but from a business standpoint, you can't blame Trost for his comments. Me, and this is why I'm so against the StubHub ticket floors that are currently in place, I believe the market should dictate what the tickets are. That's the one thing that I like about these resale sites. And that's good and bad, right? Because, you know, if it's a big game, ticket prices go up, and then maybe you can't afford it. And you're like, oh, why are these scalpers charging so much money? But at the end of the day, if people are willing to pay it, different story. And so I don't think these sites should dictate to people what they are going to pay. Again, I think, you know, a ticket price should be set. And then when it goes to that next market, the market should decide what that price is going to be. The Yankees obviously weren't happy with that, weren't thrilled with that. So Trost, I believe, ended up doing an interview with Mike Francesa to try and clarify his comments. But by then, the damage had already been done. There was a big, I think it was the Daily News or the Post, instead of StubHub, it said SnobHub, because in the process of getting rid of the print-at-home tickets, the Yankees also got out of their partnership with StubHub. And because they were going to e-tickets, they would not let StubHub have the API so that they could generate the e-tickets in their app. Meaning, if StubHub were to stay in business, they were going to have to A, only sell hard tickets, and B, not have a window at Yankee Stadium. Now, if you remember, they tried to move a block away from the stadium to a storefront that was right next to the smaller Billy's entrance. The Yankees sued them, and so then StubHub had to move all the way down about 10 blocks from the stadium. It wasn't really that far, but they were in that Target shopping center. They were in the parking ramp there on the ground level. So basically, if you bought a ticket off StubHub, and I did, I remember in 2016, I think it was 2016 I bought a ticket, you'd buy the ticket on StubHub. You could use the app or buy it online. I remember buying mine through the web on my desktop, and then you'd have to go to this place, pick up your hard ticket, and then walk to the stadium. Again, not as convenient as simply just opening up your app, buying a ticket, and then scanning the app, but it was possible. Meanwhile, though, while consumers are trying to figure out how they're going to buy their Yankee tickets, the Yankees, from a PR standpoint, were just getting drilled. And the guy who kind of led the charge on that was none other than John Oliver when he did this segment on the Yankees during his HBO show Last Week Tonight.
There is only one thing, however, that we can all be absolutely sure of this season, and that is that the New York Yankees will continue finding ways to look like the biggest elitist holes in all of sports. This is, after all, a team that does things like blow $275 million on A-Rod, a man who poses for photos like this one. Ahoy there! Ahoy there, a-hole! It's like that scene from Titanic, except this time you're actively rooting for the sea. The Yankees even have what they call a Legends Club for elite members, and their sales pitch for it is just as obnoxious as you'd expect.
Legends is an amazing, amazing private club. It's the first five rows of our stadium. We have first-class accommodations, five-star dining, in-seat service. We have an amazing concierge team that assists with any needs that you do have with the concierge. We do have our private suite entrance, which is for our Legends clients. They access the lobby, gain access before any of the rest of our guests.
That's right. We provide priority lobby access. And for our Diamond Elite members, we'll even drive you to a restaurant nowhere near the stadium so you don't have to fraternize with these baseball-loving peasants. And this is where the Yankees have amazingly found a way to even antagonize their own fans. Because this year, they got rid of the option to print tickets at home. And when fans complained that this would make it harder for them to resell those tickets online, the Yankees COO, Lon Trost, seen here posing in the exact way you'd expect a Yankees executive to pose. He went on the radio and denied those effects, but in doing so, threw in a comment that made it clear what he thinks of some of Yankees' less affluent fans.
If you buy a ticket in a very premium location and pay a substantial amount of money, it's not that we don't want that fan to sell it, but that fan is sitting there having paid a substantial amount of money for their ticket, and the fan picks it up for a buck and a half and sits there, and it frustrates the purchaser in the full amount. And quite frankly, the same, the fan, you know, may be someone who has never sat in a premium location. So that's a frustration to our existing fan base.
Wow. Wow. You're saying rich people couldn't bear to sit next to people who aren't as rich, which would be offensive if you were talking about the opera, much less a sport whose primary fashion statement is the goatee. And that is why the Yankees make sure no one gets into their most premium seating who doesn't belong there. And that explains why so many of their fanciest seats are often empty during the season. But for the first three games of this season, at least, there will be riffraff in those seats. And I'll tell you why. We bought two Legend seats to the first three games this week. And they are right in this area behind home plate. They're right behind home plate. And we will sell them to you for just 25 cents apiece. On one condition, you must dress like you have never sat in a premium location before. What that means can be up to you. That's up to you. Simply tweet us a photo of what you and a guest would wear to the game with the hashtag, I have never sat in a premium location. Make sure to include a hashtag for the game you'd want to attend, so that's at Monday, Wednesday or Thursday, and we will pick the winners based on the looks we like the best. We are legally bound to give you these contest rules, as well as mention that the Yankees are not involved in this contest in any way. Although that should be pretty f***ing obvious by now. Enjoy the game and please give A-Rod our best.
And so for that series, the Bronx Zoo reincarnated in the form of unicorns and turtles and a number of other dinosaurs, various costumes that you saw in the Legend seats right behind home plate. I believe it was that week. I end up running into John Oliver at the Garden of Dreams, which is Madison Square Garden's charity, at their talent show at Radio City Music Hall. John Oliver, a big supporter of it. And so I ran into him and was obviously interviewing people there for my radio show at the time on PLJ and asked him, obviously, about what happened on his show regarding the Yankees.
As a diehard Yankees fan, do you have any more Legends tickets? Because I've never sat in the Legends seats. I've never sat past the moat.
No, of course you haven't.
Of course I
been trying to keep you out successfully. So, no, with the first three games, we're out now. We're out. And I think the Yankees are happy that we're done.
Did you get any flack from them for it?
I personally didn't, because I didn't turn up there in a costume. But, yeah, I don't think they were absolutely thrilled about it. The thing is, it's those seats are amazing. Like, those seats are precious, and it frustrates the hell out of me to see them empty during every game. It's embarrassing. As a fan, it is embarrassing to see empty seats, especially when those seats are life experience. I got to sit in those seats once. I sat in behind home plate of the Mets once, and I'll never forget it. I don't understand for the life of me why they cannot fill those seats. It makes no logical sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it's the worst, and it makes the stadium a lot quieter as well.
It's like You're basically eschewing a home field advantage by having just empty seats behind you. It must be weird batting with no one shouting for you at the back. So we provide some shouting dinosaurs sharks and Ninja Turtles. You're welcome.
And unicorns.
That's right, and some unicorns. So yeah, they all had an amazing time because those are amazing seats. So they were really happy. They were huge baseball fans, all the guys that we sent, and they had a blast because it's an amazing experience. And the Yankees should open it up to more people.
And look, especially at that time when the ballpark wasn't packed, the stadium was noticeably quieter. And I mean, you fast forward to 2017 and 2018, and what a home field advantage Yankee Stadium has become again. It makes a big difference when the stadium is top heavy and when that noise isn't emanating from the bottom of the stadium up, as opposed to what it is most of the time now, especially in the playoffs. By the way, fast forward, I want to say another year or so. I ran into John Oliver again, and I asked him about the Yankees again.
Last thing before we get to the event tonight, the Yankees home opener is coming up. Will you be attending a game this year or no?
I think we're probably banned.
They said on the Jumbotron you were welcome, though.
Oh, yeah, sure they did. The Yankees say a lot of things on the Jumbotron they don't mean. Like, great to have you, A-Rod.
You might not like him. He's funny, though. I'm sorry, that's undeniable. And of course, I'm a big fan of his, regardless of his team allegiances. But then, you know, Pix 11 was carrying the Mets game less than 2 weeks ago, and sitting there in one of the nicer seats at Citi Field is the one and only John Oliver, who made these comments.
You're a big Mets fan, we've heard, since 2006, coinciding, I'm assuming, with when you joined The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
That's right. I think John made it pretty clear that being a Mets fan was mandatory, but also, as a real sports fan in England, I knew that it's just not acceptable to come to America and support the Yankees. It's just not okay. So, by default, I was a Mets fan because I knew being a Yankee fan was the wrong thing to do morally.
What do you like about the game?
I guess I like the pace of it. It was the first American sport that I really got into because it... You know, it has some common characteristics with sports in England, and I just love the whole occasion. So I brought my son's first baseball game. I have a 3.5-year-old, and it's his first baseball game today because he also cannot be a Yankee fan. He'll have other choices in his life. That's not going to be one of them.
And of course, Yankee fans all up in arms about it. Why would he say that? Blah, blah, blah. Go back overseas. Blah, blah, blah. But when you take everything into context, especially the fact that is, you know, the guy who gave him his big break and one of his best friends here in the States is a huge Mets fan in Jon Stewart. It all kind of makes sense. It was all in good fun. And besides, our bandwagon is full enough anyways. By the way, audio there credited to HBO and Last Week Tonight, WFAN, and of course, my old station, WPLJ. Rest in peace on that. All right, thanks for tuning in to episode number 26 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you find us. I'm Ralphie Aversa. Let's go, Yankees.